plate a potential nugget.
I think moving from the conceptual to the real, again, the one piece I'm curious about is how people manage their time and attention.
Given it's a great question,
back to what you said, given the infiniteness or tending towards infiniteness of the stuff that's being created and that's available. Mm-hmm. So as an academic, how do you, again, maybe to make it tactical, Tarun, email, calendar, phone, apps, what are some of the things you do which on the 80-20 basis contribute towards you managing your time and attention?
So the first thing I would say is that there's a simple guiding principle for me, right? And the guiding principle is that I would like to be known, not out of any ego reason, though everybody has an ego, but not primarily, I hope, out of ego reasons. I would like to be known as one of the key people who's thinking about issues related to creativity and entrepreneurship in the developing countries. Right? Mm-hmm. That's my self-assigned space. It's a space that I like to think about. I think I have something to say. I think it's useful and productive for someone to be thinking about 5 billion of the world's 7 billion people on whom inadequate, certainly scholarly and maybe policy attention is being lavished. But the reason I keep saying that is that if I can pull that off, and to some extent I feel I have pulled it off, but to keep doing it better and better, then I become the clearinghouse for people coming and telling me things that they think are relevant to me. And the measure of that is how often do I, for unsolicited reasons, get inbound offers of collaboration. In other words, going back to the combinatorics, if a strange person, so today a strange person I'd never met before from Indonesia wrote me a very nice long note saying that he had seen something I had done or talked about or a video or a piece of writing and he thought about this and he wrote me a long essay. And, you know, I read the essay and I say, well, this is very insightful. And, you know, not that I have any particular desire or bandwidth to collaborate with that individual, but he is contributing to the grist of my mill of continuing to understand something about developing countries. So if you're the clearinghouse of something, then the world comes to you. It makes it a lot easier than you chasing around the world looking for things. So that's the first overarching principle, that just become the clearinghouse of something. And this goes back to the specialization point. Mm-hmm. In terms of the tactical, I don't know that I'm even above the median on being wise about this. I'm trying to think now in real time, what is it that I could say that doesn't sound utterly silly about rationing my time? You know, I hope this doesn't sound egotistical, but I think, once again, the clearinghouse. If you do have something to say that's valuable, then I think you'll find that people will be willing to adapt to you to some extent. So in my case, mm-hmm. the way it works is because I'm physically resident in Boston, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, most of the time. And my work is in disparate locations. About half of it is in India and China, and the other half is scattered around the other developing countries in the world. That it's not possible for me to be physically immersed in the phenomenon that I want to study 24/7, which mm-hmm. is professionally what I'd like to be doing. I can't do that because then I don't have access to the intellectual infrastructure that enables me to make sense of those things. So that's the dilemma. So what I am able to do to some extent is to, as a typical example, is to show up in a place, let people know that I'm going to be in this place from time A to time B, and simply, in effect, allocate the time to different projects, different causes, different events that I might want to participate in, always with a view to saying, am I adding something? Am I bringing something unique to the table? Am I meeting new, interesting people? Am I giving the opportunity for others to come and engage with me? And of course, as an educator, am I educating people who otherwise I may not have a chance to reach when I'm sitting in Cambridge, Mass? So that becomes the allocating mechanism. I don't know that I have anything wise to say about devices and emails and phones and so on.
Sure.
These days it just seems 24/7, so it's hard to know how to quite set that up. When you figure it out, let me know and I'll adopt it.
I'm reminded of the Japanese term ikigai, which suggests that we need to find something which is at the intersection of what the world needs, what energizes us, where we have skills to add value, and where we could be paid for what we do. Tarun talking about the need around thinking and policy that affects 5 billion people on the planet is something to that effect. He talks about how he gets energized about it, how it's a real need to be solved, and how sitting in Boston at Harvard Business School at the intersection of ideas, he's able to add value, commercial value in this context. The other interesting thing in this nugget was the way Tarun spoke about an allocating mechanism for his time. One thing I've noticed with people that manage their time and attention well is that it's less around the discipline around how they manage time in a literal way, but it's more about having the clarity around the criteria you would use to deal with things that come your way. Having a clear framework to say what you will say yes to and what you will say no to. They may not articulate it clearly when you ask them, but when you spend time with them, you realize that these people have a very clear filtration mechanism for figuring out where they spend their time and attention. Thank you for listening. For more podcast content curated by theme, please visit playtopotential.com and go to the curated playlist section. To know more about the coaching and transition advisory work I do, please visit transitioninsight.com.